Turn to Genesis chapter 2 and then Genesis chapter 3. Amen. Just turn to that and we're going to be getting into it. If you can go ahead and take a seat, that's fine. If you can't remain standing, that's fine. But for those who can remain standing, go ahead and stand with me right now this morning as we read the first verses, and then we're going to pray, and then I'll be standing the rest of the time. Amen. Right? So you got Genesis chapter 2. I believe we have it up there too as well. And we're going to be starting our series, Thriving in Babylon. And the first subject is dust it off. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him you need to dust that thing off. Come on, somebody. Dust it off. And we were talking about it just in our life group just last Thursday, how that in Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, it talks about God talking about Babylon. Matter of fact, Babylon is long gone. It was in the Middle East when it was in existence back then. But now it's long gone. But God was talking about it in a spiritual sense and says Babylon the Great is fallen and is becoming a place, a dwelling place of demons, and it's a prison for foul spirits. You know that Babylon right now, we're living in the age of Babylon. Did you guys know that? There's a spiritual Babylon that's taking place in our society today. And you have to know that in these times, we need to learn a few techniques and things that we could do to learn how to overcome the enemy in the realm of Babylon. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You got it? Amen. Amen. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust. Everybody say dust. Yes. Of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now turn, just go there a little further. Chapter 3, verse 19 says, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. This is the curse that Adam received. This is, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Heavenly Father God, we come before you, Lord. We just pray that you just have your way. Lord, speak to us. Lord, let the word get into us today. Make the changes that we need to make here this day. We pray for breakthrough here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody says?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and tell him it's time to dust it off. Amen. And go ahead and take a seat here this morning. Dust it off. I pray that you remember the message here today, because I believe it will apply to every area of our lives. And the word dust, and I looked it up in the dictionary, it meant a substance with something that is comes from a dead human body. Everybody say dead human body. And it's also from the substance of the world and the disintegration of or decay of the world. And how many know that our body sheds every day?
Yes.
Right? It sheds that when we lay down in our beds, and there's dust mites. Everybody say dust mites. They're eating your dust. Right? That's their food. They eat the dust of your body. So everywhere you go, you're producing dust. When we wipe the floors, There's dust of Natty on the floor, right? There's dust of Claudia on the floor. We're dusting all Claudia's dust, right? All James's dust and, and Dan's dust. Amen. That even rhymes. Dan dust. We have Dan dust everywhere, right? Some of you guys have dandruff. Amen. But we have Dan dust. I'm stuck on Dan. Amen. And in here we read that we were formed from dust. And how that, because of this, are what we're made of, the Bible declares that you came from it and you're going to return to it. And then the weird thing about it is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Follow along. It says, "And the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat what? Dust all the days of your life.'" Now think about that. Now here's the story behind the scenes. If you read Genesis, you read that there was a curse that took place because of disobedience. You know, Eve ate the fruit and then gave it to her husband, and he ate, and they were cursed. And at that moment, as they were cursed, that what took place is that they began to blame people. How many know we were good at that, right? Blaming people for our own problems. And so they started blaming, you know, Adam blamed his wife, and Eve blamed the devil. Amen. And so there was always blame going on. But here at this point, the serpent at that time that represented the enemy, because they said that the historians say that, or people that were just recorded that part of scripture, they said that the devil was possessing that particular serpent to do his deed. And it's funny because Jesus took the form of a servant and the devil took the form of a serpent. Isn't that crazy? And how he took that form of a serpent, and he says, "Look, because now dust you're going to eat for the rest of your life." Why did he say that? Why did he say he's going to eat dust for the rest of his life? Well, who's made of dust?
We are.
Yeah. Ah. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, ah. So what does he eat? So our dust, you know what it represents? Our flesh. So any fleshly act, guess who eats that? Right? When you act in the flesh, when you operate in the flesh, when you begin to operate in sin, guess who's eating all that? For some of us, we might provide the devil a buffet. Hello, somebody. You give him a buffet at home. Yeah, you can eat all you can eat over here at the house. We have all you can eat. We got Chinese food, Mexican food. We have it all. The devil is just having a feast at home. Why? Because he's eating the dust of our lives. And so right here, it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "So the Lord gave God to the servants, because you have done this curse." And he says, and then you should eat the dust. He says right here, I'm going to go back to it. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you have been cursed more than all the cattle." He says, "More than every beast of the field, and your belly you shall go." He says, "You're going to eat dust all the days of your life." And he says right here in Psalms 103, verse 13, it says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust." Amen. He knows how weak we really are. There was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, that was praying. And he said this prayer. I heard this illustration in it. I wanted to use it here this morning. And he said this prayer. And he says, "Father Almighty, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, you know that we are weak. And like the psalmist said, we are but dust." And the little girl was there in the audience, and she asked her mom, and she said, "What is but dust?" Turn to your neighbor, tell him, "You're but dust." Amen. Turn to your other neighbor, come on, that doesn't want to talk to you. Tell him, "You're but dust. You're but dust." Come on, tap your neighbor behind you. So you're butt dust. Amen. You're butt dust. We are butt dust. Amen. A little play on words, but hey, how many know we really are dust? Amen. And so the enemy eats of our flesh. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, I want to give you something that kind of as a platform. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin. Because how many know we can be angry, but it doesn't mean you have to sin. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still what? Angry. And it says, do not give the devil what? A foothold. And another version says, do not give the devil a place. How many know sometimes we give him a place in our homes? You see, when we operate in the flesh, we operate in a place where the enemy begins to be free. Sometimes we're just, you know, people say it all the time. I'm just trying to keep it real. How many have ever said that? Right? Only one person? Man. How many know we sometimes we're trying to keep it real, right? Yes. Well, you cuss, you do all that. You become to do the things that you shouldn't be doing, but you say, I'm just trying to keep it real. But you know what happens is that you just don't have any restraints. You don't have any convictions. You don't even have any discipline to say, I'm not going to do that. And you have a cop out and say, I'm just trying to keep it real. But trying to be a man of God is keeping it real. Somebody say amen. Yes. Trying to be a woman of God is keeping it real.
Yes.
You see, sometimes we wreak havoc in our homes. We wreak havoc in your family. You wreak havoc in your job is because you operate and we operate in the flesh. Everybody say flesh.
Yes.
We give the devil what's called a foothold. We give him ground to walk on. He's walking on this ground that you're giving him a platform to live in your life. That's why a lot of people today, matter of fact, if you go on the internet, they say 36% of people that are actively on the internet is pornography. Matter of fact, one out of four searches, they came up with this new stat. He goes, one out of four searches are sexual. You see, and today we glorify murder. Matter of fact, I believe some of the serial killers and some of those that do murder and do horrific things get their ideas from movies.
Yeah.
I go, that's a great idea for somebody to kill everybody, right? I mean, that's like, wow. It's like giving the devil a platform. Hey, let's get some more ground for the enemy so that he can wreak havoc in our family. And see, the devil is cursed to eat that. Matter of fact, he gets his strength when we operate in flesh. That's why when you begin to put down your kids and begin to do things in your, you begin to cheat on your wife, you begin to cheat on people, you begin to do things, you give the devil a platform to live and to exist. How many know we shouldn't give the devil that? Amen. We shouldn't give him a foothold because that's what it is. You're giving him a foothold in your life. And that's why sometimes it's hard to get a breakthrough. In this Babylon society, we need a people that are willing to live holy and right before the Lord and know how to deny yourself of these things because these things allow the enemy to move. You know there's a spirit behind pornography? So that when you operate in that spirit, you allow that spirit to come into your home and attach itself to your children and attaches themselves to their grandchildren and it becomes a curse to your family. You know that anger is also something that causes damage to your family. When you operate in anger, in other words, it's not the anger, but it's a sin behind your anger. Because how many know when you get angry, you want to beat somebody up? Am I talking to Victor Average or what? You want to beat somebody up. But when you operate that, you allow the enemy to move. But see, we can't do that. When we look at the dust of our lives, you got to know that the enemy eats that. The enemy eats that. When you begin to operate in that dust and not trust in God, you begin to say, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and trust God and believe God. So I came up with an acronym for you guys to follow. And it'll help you dust it off. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you got to dust it off again. Come on. And I got an acronym for you, D-U-S-T. The first letter is D, which is determined. In Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, F, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. To be determined. You know, in this society today, we need to be determined. You know, you have to be determined to come to church. Because how many know the devil hits you up right before church? Am I the only one? Right? All of a sudden, your car gets a flat. You know how many things took place before church? You guys don't even know half the things that my wife and I went through just to see this crusade to take place. You guys, oh yeah, Pastor Bob and Sister Claudia, they got, no. We're holding on for dear life. There's all kinds of stuff. Do you see the men's on them? I guess you haven't. The hood. How many know we raised the roof? Amen. That hood flew off. The transmission of the UTC went out. All kinds of stuff. The devil was just mad. All kinds of stuff was happening behind. I can't even tell you half the things, because then you're like, what? But see, we held our ground. We were determined to finish. You know, the finances, it wasn't always there. My wife and I were praying it in. Said, Lord, those that committed themselves to give, we were thanking God for that. But we were praying the finances in. We're all in. I love what Pastor Tim said when he was here. He goes, you're all in. I said, yeah, I'm all in. He goes, I could tell. And I said, because I believe that you have to go all the way for God. You can't go quarter away for God. You have to be determined. That means if you want to be blessed in this Babylon society, how many know that the enemy is warring? Yes. The enemy is trying to wear you out. The enemy is after you, because if you get it together, and I was talking to the men the other day, if they don't get it together, anybody, their family, their children, they don't have a prayer. Because the men need to get it together. Because the devil is warring after you and warring after our families, and he's coming after you fiercely. He wants to come after you hard. He wants to come at you very hard, and he'll do everything that he can to discourage us. How many know that that's the enemy's weapon, this discouragement? When he begins to discourage you, you just want to give up. Well, you don't see things happen right away. But let me tell you here that today's the day that God's going to show you that, you know what, the things that you've been going through, there's a reason behind it. God has a purpose and a reason behind your trial and your tribulation. Somebody shout amen. Help me preach this morning. You know that God has a purpose behind your trial. You know why? Because he has something better for you. He has a blessing for your life. But if you can't handle this little trial, how are you going to handle the big thing that God has for your life? If you can't handle just because somebody stepped on your toe, hello somebody, just because somebody cut you off on the road, you can't even handle that. How are you going to handle true riches when God wants to bless you? You see, these trials are meant to train us for something bigger and better. You see, you have to be determined. Here in Joshua, he had to be determined. There was only a few of them that decided to serve the Lord. And he says, it says right here, that he goes, if it's not desirable, he says, if it seems evil to you, he says, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve the Lord. For he says, we're going to choose ourselves this day. We will serve whether the gods which you are your father serve, that whether on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in those and says in whose land you dwell. But as for me, everybody say, as for me, and my house, we shall serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. One more time. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Come on. It might not be popular to serve God right now. It might not be popular to serve God in school or at work, but you have to make a choice, because Babylon is always after us. The spirit of Babylon is a rebellion against God. It's always after us, trying to get us not to serve him. But we need to make a choice to do that. And that's why it says right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I believe that we all need to do this right now. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then, ever say then. It says, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God wants to heal your family. God wants to heal your family. Do you know that? My family was under a curse. My mom and dad, they were in turmoil. I remember they were on the verge of divorce, and my sisters were on drugs, and my brother was crazy, and I was suicidal, and all that. But I thank God at that moment that Jesus interrupted my miserable life. I was able to take a stand. I made a choice, a decision to serve the Lord. And that because of that, I'm able to see my children serve God. You know what? They've never seen me get high before. Isn't that a blessing? They never seen me smoke a cigarette. They never seen me treat their mom wrong. They never seen me do all those things. Why? Because Jesus broke the curse of my life. I don't have to do that. I don't have to display the dust of my life. I was able to get my stuff together and clean it up and allow the Holy Spirit to change me, not only from the outside, from the inside. Because you can look good on the outside and look horrible on the inside. You can look clean. You can brush your teeth. Somebody say amen. You can look good. You can brush your hair if you have it. Amen. You can look good. You can put on a suit. But baby, you can be dirty on the inside. Amen. A lot of dirt taking place. A lot of lust taking place. A lot of anger taking place. But how many know Jesus is only able, the one and only is able to get into that heart of yours and change it and clean it and purify it. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, come clean dirty. Come clean dirty.
Come clean dirty.
Amen. Jesus is the only one that's able to clean your dirty heart.
Yes.
How many know our hearts are dusty?
Yes.
That's why I tell James, and I tell him, I go around the home and dust the home off. Because there's a lot of flesh going on in here. Right?
Yeah.
You guys don't know it, but I inspect the home almost every day. I look through all your stuff. You're like, oh my God, yes, sir. You're looking at me crazy because it's true. I look through all your stuff. It got quiet up in here. Amen. I'm trying to find the dust, trying to find some flesh. So, okay, because I know it when, like in our home, I go around. You can always tell when something's going on in the house because they're all serious. Can I bust out the men's home a little bit? Because, you know, I can tell they're all worshiping God and they're all good. But when they're all serious, they're like, Pastor, you just don't know. This guy's messing up, man. This guy's getting high. He just jumped out the window. He snuck out for a minute. He went to the liquor store. He got something. He came back. Pastor, you just don't know. I see your faces. And I read them nice and clear. And I know flesh is going on. And the enemy, you're giving them a foothold in the home. And he's going to take one of you guys out if you don't take it seriously. And if you see somebody playing in that home, tell them, dust it off. All right? Tell them, dust it off, bro. I don't want none of that dust on me. Right? Turn to your neighbor, tell them, dust that off if you're in a men's home. I'm dealing with the home because I know I want to grow this home. But you need to dust it off in that house. You need to get all that stuff. If you're hiding stuff in your room, take it out. Dust it off. Come on, if you're fooling around making phone calls and having a cell phone on the side, say, dust it off. If you're trying to mess around when James is gone, dust it off. If you're lying and climbing and doing all kinds of stuff behind the scenes, then get out of the home because there's room for other people to change.
Yeah.
Dust it off. Get changed, man. We don't have a victory outreach home for people to play. We want to see changed lives. James didn't sacrifice his life and give and do all that he's doing so that you can play games in that home. You see, we need to dust it off. The youth, you need to dust it off. You know, with young people, I find that you've got to be determined because young people go through it every day.
Yeah.
One day they want to serve God and one day they don't. One day they think they're cute and one day they're not. But, oh, he's not cute no more. You don't know what I'm talking about, I guess. One day you just want to be obedient and then one day you just want to be disobedient. How many parents we have here?
Right.
That wasn't a good amen. You should be saying, that was this morning. Did he want to get up? I already know. I got kids and teenagers. I had to bring them by the ears. You come to church if you like it or not. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Come in your pajamas. Don't put on your makeup. You're going to sit there all messy and everything else. Because as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I know young people. Every day. I was a youth pastor for many years. Every day. Everybody say every day. Emotions. Every day. They want to serve God. They don't want to serve God. Every day. That's why I created a youth home. I had 20 guys over in my house. 20 youth. All the time. Every day. Right, honey? Every day. Because I know youth got to dust it off every day. With Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, the pornography that you just, all you have to do is just scroll up on the feed. I can't even do it. That's why I have a social media team. I just want somebody else to do it. Because it's horrible what you see. And I can't imagine being a young person and just being on social media and then all of a sudden somebody messages you and tells you you're cute. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, really? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, all right? Right? Then all of a sudden this person's interested in that person and they begin to talk to you. And see, oh, there's a lot of dust in the Instagram and there's a lot of dust on Facebook. A lot of flesh. A lot of flesh. If you're, I can always tell when if you're having that problem because you can't even sit down on the table and communicate with people because you got to have your phone. All the time. I go, how? If you were on, if you were praying, as long as you're on your phone, you would get a breakthrough. Hold on. Because we're just on the phone. You're collecting dust. Hello, somebody. Just getting a lot of dust in there. And you need to just, sometimes you just need to filter that off. Sometimes you need to unfriend people. You don't know what I'm talking about, right? There's a movie called Unfriend, I think, right? A little girl freaked out or something like that. Anyways, don't watch it. Amen. But that's what we have to do. We got to clean that up, man. If you're young, if you're old, if you're middle-aged, if you're in that age, how many know we need to see a society of people that are willing to be clean before the Lord and walk worthy before the Lord and say, I'm going to walk circumspectly. I'm going to walk right before people. Why? Because I want to dust it off. I want to get clean. Because Babylon, this society, need to see the real deal. They need to see the real deal. Amen. They need to see people that are genuinely able to serve God in a godless society. Right? Because that's, you can preach to them all day long. We could tell them scriptures and we could pray about them and different things. But if you're living like the devil, somebody say, devil. If you're living like the devil and you think you're going to be a witness, no, you're not. Matter of fact, you're putting shame to his name. You're putting him back on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews that when you do that, you put him right back on the cross. You make him dead for us. But how do you know we don't serve a dead God? We serve an alive God. He's alive and well. We need to show the world that God, come on somebody. All right, amen. I'm going to preach to myself this morning, amen. Romans chapter 1 verse 6, unashamed. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation for everyone who believes. And it says first for the Jew and then after that for the Greek. And it goes on and it says that we need to be bold witnesses. In order for us to overcome Babylon, we need to be bold witnesses. Where are my bold witnesses? Where are those that are willing to boldly testify of God's grace? You know why sometimes we can't testify of God's grace? Because maybe you're just living dirty. Because when you're living dirty, it's hard to shine. Right? When you're living dirty, it's hard to shine. But when you cut yourself cleaned up, man, people see it. Oh, you're looking good and you're walking good. You're testifying. And you know, the devil wants to steal your testimony. The Bible says that we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Yeah. The devil is trying to rip you off from your testimony. If he could disdain your name and say, oh yes, if I could just provide a big giant a condemnation guilt over you, then you don't have to testify of his goodness and mercy and love. Because sometimes when we feel guilty and ashamed and embarrassed, it's hard to be a bold witness. The Bible says, holy hands make us stronger and stronger. In the book of Psalms, it says, holy hands. That means when you're living right before the Lord, it makes you bold like lions. That means you just want to testify to the world about Jesus. That means you go to your job and begin to share the gospel to somebody. Because if we begin to do that, you know what? This place will be too small for us to have church. Somebody say amen. We would have to have triple services, quadruple services. Somebody shout amen. Do you see what I see? But if we become that witness and testimony of God's grace and mercy and be bold and not be ashamed. Because that's what happens. You become ashamed of the gospel. And in order for us to live in this godless society, in the book of Daniel, as we're going through it in our life groups, we're reading about Daniel not being ashamed and taking a stand. And if you, we read that how he was stripped of his religion, and how he was stripped of his manhood, and how he was stripped of everything. And they tried to detox him from what he believed in, and they tried to put him, they tried to teach him in the ways of the occult. And now he had to take a stand, and he was bold to be a witness. And matter of fact, he wasn't ashamed to the point, even if to the point where he was going to die, he stood still and he said, God, if you're with me, who can be against me? You have to know that in this world today, we need to take a stand. We need to be unashamed, man. You need to be unashamed of what God has put it, done in your life. And don't be embarrassed for what God has done. And number three, we need to separate. Everybody say separate.
Separate.
1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. Everybody say holy.
Holy.
In your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? Be separate. Because we can't be perfect, because we're not perfect. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know you're not perfect.
I know you're not.
Yeah, I know. I already know. You're not perfect, but can you be separate? Yes, we can. We can separate ourselves from this world and be separate from amongst them. That means you got to pick your friends wisely. Don't just hang out with anybody. Because if you're living in this Babylon society, it's going to try to make you dirty. It's going to try to put drama. How many here like drama? Right? Well, how many know people that have drama? Everybody got drama, right? We all got drama. But the more drama you get, sometimes it's because of the people that you hang around with. They bring the drama. They drag you in. They get you involved. They're the ones calling your name. They're calling you in the middle of the night. They're asking you for help. Can you just get me to the connection? I got to get high one more night. And you find yourself there, and then you get busted. The drama begins to happen all around you. Why? Because you don't separate yourself. Now, I'll take you to church, but I won't take you to the connection. I'll take you to a Bible study, but I won't take you to a party. I'll take you to a place where you can find safety. You see, separate. Everybody say separate. You need to separate amongst them and say, you know what? I love you. I care for you, but I'm not going to hang out with you. You're going to hang out with me. You see, if you hang out with somebody and they have more influence on you, then it's not a good thing. But if they hang out with you, you have more influence on them, then that's a great thing. And that's what we need to determine. If people come around us, our old friends, people that we know, I've had old friends that try to hang out with me, and they call me holier than thou. And I said, you're right. Amen. Because I am holy now. I am separate among them. I'm not the same no more. I'm not the same person no more. I don't get high. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't steal. I don't rob. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't do none of that. You know, I know now who I am in Christ. I'm born again. I've been risen from the dead. Man, I'm no longer living in drugs. I'm no longer hurting in pain. But I am free. The blood has set me free. He broke the chains. He opened the door. He knows all the things that I've desired in life. He's given it to me today. Why am I going to live among you? You need to live around me. You want to find freedom? Come hang out with me, baby. You will have a good time. I'll show you how to break that chain, that generational curse, and separate yourself. And the last thing is this. We need to thrive in any situation. T, thrive. Everybody say thrive.
Thrive.
We need to thrive in every situation. That means it doesn't matter if it's a good situation, a bad situation. You know, sometimes we have faith when things go good. How many know that's not faith? Real faith is when you need to operate and do things and serve God even when things go bad. That's real faith. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? And this is what they were referring to, trials. They were referring to problems. And he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He says, who shall bring charge against God's elect? And I love it. Let's continue on. It says, God who also makes intercession for us. How many know God is praying for us? He's asking for blessings to be upon us. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, everybody say tribulation. or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as a sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. How many know we're more than a conqueror? Somebody shout amen. For I am persuaded, he said, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present or things to come. You know what that means right there? Neither our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow shall stop us from serving the Lord. It says, nor height, nor death, nor even created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to thrive in every situation. That means when the devil is coming in like a flood, you're going to raise up a standard and say, no, devil, I'm not going to believe your lies. I'm going to believe what God says about his word. His word that says he's the lamp unto my feet. I know that when I'm in the middle of darkness, I'm going to walk in the light. I know that if he's before me, who can be against me? And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You need to declare by faith that even in my situation, in my darkest hour, God is going to come through. How many know he's going to come through for us? You got to have the faith that he's going to work it out. I know it's doom and gloom. I know the devil just paints a dark picture. I know he tells you you're going to be single for the rest of your life. I know he tells you you're going to be broke. I know he tells you that things are not going to work out. But you know what? How many know that God has the last word? He will always tell you at the end that he is a God that does not lie. His promises are yes and amen. You can trust in his promises and he'll work it all out in the beginning. And he'll work it out at the end. God is faithful. He is faithful in every situation. So we don't need these Christians that are just emotionally serving God. But I need some tenacious Christians. Those that are determined to say, even in Babylon, I'm going to thrive. Even in Babylon, I'm going to begin to raise up my banner of the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and say, it doesn't matter what the world has to say. I'm going to give you what I have to say in Jesus. You see, you got to understand, in this world today, we need to thrive. We need to thrive because your witness becomes powerful when you thrive in the middle of your trial. Because we could all bless God when we got a raise. We could bless God when things are working out for you. But bless God when all hell is breaking loose on you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm looking for some worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what that means? That you'll come to church, and when the worship goes on, Victoria doesn't have to tell you to raise your hands. Because how many know the police officer tells you to raise your hand all the time? You do it for him. Why can't you do it for Jesus, right? They're like, I can't do it for the Lord. Come on, somebody. You worship him. Don't be emotional, but say, you know what? The devil's trying to steal my praise. The devil's trying to steal my worship. I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to give him dust to walk on. I'm not going to give him a foot to hold in. I'm not going to give him none of that. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do, because the devil just hit me right before church, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to sing a song. Oh, the devil's trying to steal. No. I'm going to worship him. You know, that's when gates begin to open. The prison doors begin to open. The freedom begins to happen. Because your circumstance don't determine your breakthrough. All right.
Come on, dude, that's good.
Your circumstance will not determine your breakthrough.
That's good. Yes.
You have to understand that your position in Christ, the way you stand, the way you hold on to the horns of the altar and begin to hold on to the word of God will give you the breakthrough that you desire in life.
Amen.
God wants to give us that determination. And know that we need to thrive. You know the word thrive means? It means to grow vigorously. To flourish in every situation. How many have ever seen a flower grow in the middle of a rock? Right? I've seen that. A beautiful flower grow between a rock. I said, how did that happen? Right? In the middle of stone is a flower. That's what God wants. In the middle of Babylon, can I see a Christian rise up and shine? See, can I see somebody that says, I need to dust this thing off. Because I don't want the enemy to have a foothold in my life. I don't want the enemy to walk in my marriage and begin to destroy it. I don't want the enemy to come in and take my children and the curse continues with them. All of a sudden, I was in jail, I was in prison, my children will now be in prison and jail.